ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयत् नस्तत्रयेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नास्तिकी. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, and Verse 22. Please repeat. Anvikseta mano bandham, moksham cha jnana nistaya, bandha indriya vikshepo, moksha esham cha samyamaha. Anvikseta. One should see by careful study Atmanaha of the soul, Bandham, the bondage, Moksham, the liberation, Cha, also, Jnana, in knowledge, Nistaya, by steadiness, Bandaha, bondage, Indriya, of the senses, Vikshepa, deviation to sense gratification, Moksha, liberation, Esham, of these senses, Cha, and Samyamaha, complete control. Translation. By steady knowledge, a sage should clearly ascertain the nature of the soul's bondage and liberation. Bondage occurs when the senses are deviated to sense gratification, and complete control of the senses constitutes liberation. Translation and purport by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. By carefully understanding one's eternal nature, one will not again be bound up in the shackles of material energy. And by constant engagement in the service of the Absolute Truth, one is liberated. Then the flickering material senses can no longer drag one into the false consciousness of being a material enjoyer. Such steady sense control gives one relief from the harassment of material sense gratification. Om Anjana Samarandasya Jnana Anjana Salakya Chaksuru Nultamena Tasmi Sri Guru Namo Spraya Sapsthaya Guru Shimacha Prat Swami Dhanamini Namachari Padayana Kaya Kato Padayana Gol Padadamdayana Radamdayana Namo Spraya Sapsthaya Guru Shimacha Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhanam Namaste Sarasuri Kaurvani Kuchami Nirvishesha Sunnivada Pasakti Dishthani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadar Sari Gaur Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna. So we are in chapter 18, in the 11th canto. Now this particular chapter is called Description of Varnashrama Dharma. Before we delve into more about this Varnashrama Dharma, we'll need to find out what's happening here. What is the context? What's going on here? This is a discussion between Uddhava and Lord Krishna himself. And this discussion, which is from chapter 6, if I'm not mistaken, to chapter 29, has been aptly termed Uddhava Gita, which I've told you before. We have to glorify Uddhava here. And this Gita is considered as important as the Bhagavad Gita. As you all know, the Bhagavad Gita was delivered in a very battlefield scene where there's killing and fighting and that kind of a scene. But whereas the Uddhava Gita was delivered in a very, very somber atmosphere, both of them were. Actually, Uddhava was very, very sad because he knew that the Vrishni race will be wiped off and everybody will be going away and Krishna is already leaving, so he's very sad. And he's wondering why, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why can't he just stop all this? Oh, not that he had that kind of thoughts, but you know, still he's sad. Alright. Now, Uddhava himself is very, very close to Krishna as much as Arjuna was. It said, Bhaktosimi Chakaseti. He's not only my devotee, he's also my friend. And Uddhava was also his cousin. His father was Devabhaga, who was the brother of Vasudeva. And he was a counselor, he was a minister. And he was also had this title, Savior of Dwaraka. At one time when King Salva was attacking, and I think Krishna wasn't there, and Uddhava actually defended Dwaraka, and so he has this title, Defender of Dwaraka, Savior of Dwaraka. Now, most importantly, you'll find that Uddhava is involved in very important aspects of Krishna's life too. One of it is, of course, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura, and then he's worried about how the gopis will be, so he sends a messenger, and Uddhava is the messenger, go and find out how are the gopis getting on. So he comes to see them, and when they say Uddhava, they take him all over the place. Oh, this is the place he did that. This is where he killed this Asura, and this is where we dance, and you know, he's going around like that. And those descriptions and all, I think, form the Gopi Gita, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, so Uddhava just told them, don't worry, you know, you all have associated. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why do you have to worry? The other important thing is when Subhadra got married to Arjuna, there were dowries that was being sent from Dwaraka to Hastinapur. Now these dowries were, usually there's a person who, the chief of the, you know, the person who takes this, the gifts to the other side, from the bride's side to the bridegroom's side. And the chief of them was none other than Uddhava himself. And the description is, the ships that were taking these gifts from Dwaraka were bigger than Dwaraka itself. Now, that may be inconceivable for us. How can that be? In fact, Max Müller, he is a German philosopher, and he's famous for his footnotes. And he writes, the Indians do not have any concept of science. How can something bigger come out of something smaller? And he writes his footnotes. Nothing wrong with the philosophy. If at all anything that is wrong, it's his foot on his notes. We have to take his foot off the notes. And then we will understand. All he has got is surrender properly to a guru and he will teach him how all this is possible. Even a child in India will tell you, explaining this inconceivable position, you see, if you have seen a banyan tree is huge and lives for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And it grows and grows, and when we were small, we used to play on the roots. You know, the roots are coming from there. And then, of course, it's always Tarzan, you see. Then you'll be flying away, and flying on the... And the tree is going on and on. And even when you're small, until you die, this tree is still there. A banyan tree is so huge. Now that banyan tree, how does it come? It comes from a small seed. So that huge banyan tree is inside the tree. If you want to grow a banyan tree, you need that small seed. That's why you'll see in India all these crevices and, you know, between houses and bricks and walls and all, they'll be growing. Because the birds will eat these seeds and they'll be passing all over and they'll be growing. But without the seed, you can't grow it. So in other words, such a huge banyan tree is in a small little seed. That is a material explanation. But material nature is under control of Krishna. Maya adhikshena prakriti. So he can do anything he wants. So, it is not that they didn't understand dimensions. We are talking about 3D now, with avatar and all that. We have these funny looking glasses, so then we can see something. But in the Vedic scriptures, they are talking about 64 dimensions. When Arjuna is describing, and these descriptions varies too. Who is describing from where? Whether Brahma is describing from his position or Arjuna is describing from his position, these dimensions vary. So they tell us that there are 64 dimensions, which is unable to understand. We can't even understand three. Then how can we understand more? Unbelievable. I have seen in India a huge pillar, maybe a few hundred feet, standing by itself. So it's not maybe slightly smaller like this. To stand like that, that's unbelievable. But that's not unbelievable. You can take a newspaper and go through the pillar down there. You throw the pillar, you know, you open up the newspaper and you push it under, another person can pull it out. So how is it standing? It's just standing on four points. Where did they get this engineering thing? And we are talking about thousands of years ago. They could do that. So coming back to, so that is basically, I just want to glorify Uddhava for a while. So here, in Varnashrama Dharma, this is the chapter on Varnashrama Dharma. Basically, there is something that we have to understand. For some of you who are new here, we have a relationship with Krishna. This is called the five kinds of relationship. Most of you would, you already know. Now, some of us might say that, no, I don't have any relationship with Krishna. I don't know who he is. You know. So we have forgotten this relationship. Sometimes a son can just go away from the father and he'll say, no, he doesn't want to have any relationship with the father or the mother, whatever. This thing happened in material life too. But according to the Vedic scriptures, we are all related to Krishna and we all have relationship with him. So we have, of course, the neutral Shanta, Dasya, and which means servitude. And then there is friendship, Sakya, and then there is parental, of course, Vatsalya. And Madhurya, you can even have a loving relationship. You can consider Supreme Lord as your lover too. All these things, of course, very, very, in a very, very high state of consciousness. Now, the Vedas say that we were all originally in the spiritual world, and because of this use of this independence, or minute independence that we want to enjoy ourselves, and then we are sent to this material world. And the price that we pay, of course, when you come to the material world, then you have to get this material body. Because the material body is what you need to enjoy in this material world. It's just like going for the 3D movie. You have to wear the glasses. Then only you can see. Or say your wife is expecting and she's about to deliver. And then you insist that, no, I want to see, my baby come out. So the theater, of course, they will say, you can't. Then you want to walk into with your shirt or whatever your dress. They will not allow you. All right, we'll allow you. And they'll say, okay, chuck all this. And they'll give you some ghost-like things to wear, all white, covered, face covered, everything is covered. And then you're walking like a white ghost. And then your wife was about to deliver. And then she looks at you and she freaks out, who's this ghost here? And then you say, I'm me, but and the baby is going backwards. And so anyway, what I'm saying is, just like in a particular situation, you need to have certain particular clothes, similarly, you come to the material world, you get this material body. Now when you get this material body, what do? We have, of course, our real self is the soul. Soul and the energy of the soul is consciousness. For instance, a material example will be, there's a light bulb, and the energy of the bulb is the light that we see. Similarly, there is a soul and the consciousness pervading throughout the body. Now, somehow or other, this consciousness identifies with the body. Though spirit is pure, but this misunderstanding or misidentification, consciousness identifies with the body, thinking that I am the body. That's what we do in the morning, isn't it? When you go in front of the mirror, we do this and we keep on doing that, thinking that this is me, this body is me. Though we keep telling, I'm not this body, but I'm spirit soul. But it's very difficult to understand. I mean, some people just freak out if you say, you're not this, you're not you, you're not, I'm not me. You must be crazy if I'm not me. But somehow or other we identify with this body and the designations with the body, whatever the body does, what is the job of the body, what is the relationship with the body, and we go on like this. So we fail to understand the real purpose of life or the real identity. We have all original identity from the spiritual world. Now, to understand this original identity or this original relationship, Varnashrama Dharma will help. Varnashrama Dharma is not the end all or be all of it, but it will help. Help you, because if you have this Varna Ashrama Dharma, I will explain Varnashrama later on, but you have this, then you can start this process of understanding the relationship. Now, Lord Chaitanya calls this Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Sambandha means, what is the relationship between you and God? First you have to know the relationship. And then, Abhideya is, how to revive this relationship. Now, oh, I'm related now, but I've forgotten the relationship. So how do I revive it? So there is a process of revival. And ultimately by reviving this relationship, then what happens? Prayojana, the result. You will get the result. Then you will get your identification. You will become fixed in your love for Krishna, in your love for God. And then you are in a happily state of mind. So Varna Ashrama helps. But when we take this body, when we take this body and come into this material world, it has problems too. It's not, everything is not totally good. For instance, the body has got 6 kinds of changes. It takes birth and it grows, it remains for some time, produces byproducts, and then finally dwindles, and then ultimately it vanishes or dies. So these are the 6 changes of the body. So you have to understand that this body is going to finish one day. The only thing that is sure in this life is death. Nothing else is sure. Anything will change. We can have big plans, but nobody knows what's going to happen. Now the second kind of thing is the 3 kinds of miseries that are the atmic. That means miseries brought about by the body and mind. Our body and mind is all the time giving us problems. No matter how much we try, we can solve, we can swallow Zoloft or Valium, whatever, but still we are troubled. We all know that. So body and mind, that is known as adhyatmik. Then other living entities, not in this country so much, but if you go to India, especially in Mayapur festival, there's big mosquitoes that will come, whoom, like a helicopter will come and sit on you. Especially those days, those people who don't pay festival fees, the mosquitoes are even bigger. They know, this guy has not paid, I better give him one shot. But of course, now it's all free, so don't worry. So the mosquitoes also are less. So those are the bhautik, other living entities. Your best friend is your best enemy also sometimes. You know, he borrows a lot of money and then he doesn't give you back. Then you'll curse him, you know. Or your best friend takes away your best wife. And then, you know, the whole thing becomes a new scene now. So that is the problems created by other living entities and problems created by natural causes. Like we had, you know, Melbourne never saw a flood that was experienced last week or something like that. And the hailstone?
Yeah.
And that was, it's not that some parts, it's not like Carnegie or say Hyatt or something, it's not. It's all over, everybody is talking about it. Everybody, you know, the whole place was filled with. Some people say golf ball, some people say tennis ball. So it is only the size that mattered. Otherwise, everybody was whacked. Many cars were damaged. So these are the 3 different kinds of, these are the, not only these things. In summary, you can say, this body has got a problem called birth, age, disease, death. Birth, age. You have to take birth, you have to grow old. You find that grey little hair peeping out, you pull it out. 2 days later, one more peeps out, and then you pull it out. You want to remain young. And suddenly you say, full of white hair. Then you take some dye and make it black. Then sometimes then you get scratches and, you know, dermatitis and all that, so you give up this habit. And then, what I'm trying to say, age, birth, age, disease. You don't want disease. Who wants disease? Nobody wants disease. But you get disease. And ultimately, of course, you die. So these are the problems of this material body. So, now what happens is, somebody might say, look, I don't believe in all this program. Your so-called Varnashram Dharma program. I don't want to believe that. I've got my own program. I'll do what I feel. Like, I'll do whatever I want. I'll have my own plans. I'll do this way, I'll do that. I can do this. You know, I'll get my, you know, whatever. Get my job. Get my... But, that is true. But Srila Prabhupada warns, the material field of action, there's this body, or most importantly this body, that's where this is the field of action. The material field of action is all the time shifting. You can't control it. The body, this material field of action, all this time shifting, due to what? Due to the influence of time. Influence of time, and you can't stop it. So, though we may have plans, and you want to be young and beautiful and with your relationship, these things are not permanent. There will be problems. There will be problems. And we have to be aware of them. Now, coming back to the relationship, the relationships all are devotional service. You have to understand that. It is not just a sentimental feeling. Sometimes I know this, some people will come and have a very sentimental attitude. Oh, Jagannath is my baby, and they look at Narasimha. How cute! Narasimha is not cute. You better be careful, you know. You better be careful. You fall down first. He's not cute, especially when Ugra Narasimha is standing with this. You know, you better be scared. Even if he's seated, somebody says, "Oh no, this is all right. He's seated. He's Shanta." How long will it take him for him to stand up and row again? Just a second. And you are not careful. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, these relationships are all levels of devotional service. And devotional service is very important for us. Now, what is this unique aspect of this relationship? This relationship, this is a unique aspect only found in Krishna consciousness. This relationship is not, it's not found in Hinduism or Sanatana Dharma or Vedic religion. For instance, Deva worship, people who pray to Lord Ganesh, or people who pray to Lord Devi, or any one of them, there are pujas to perform. You perform the pujas so that you will get some material benefits. No relationship. There's no relationship. Though some people have used those words like, you know, my whatever, but there is no relationship. There is no Vedic there is no authority or evidence to say that there is. So it's a very unique thing, this relationship thing. It's not in Christianity, though they say our Father who art in heaven, but the concept is an order supplier. Please give us our daily bread. The order supplier becomes the most important concept there. In Islam, of course, he is the lawgiver and punisher. This is the law you follow. If you don't follow, I'll punish you. And even though in Hinduism or in other words in Vaishnava worship, there is this relationship. There has been a lot of contamination, especially by the Mayavadis or the impersonalists. They've got their own concoction of devotional service. For instance, they are very famous for bringing a very sick person. Or a very poor person. Very poor person, they go to the streets, they look for a very poor person who has got nothing and pull him into the temple and call him Daridra Narayana. Mm-hmm. And then they will start, you know, bathing him, and then they will do Abhishek for him, they'll do Aarti for him and saying that he is Narayana. And similarly for a sick person, they bring him, they give him food, what not. But the aim is, they want to serve them because they want to become God. Actually, in their hearts, they are thinking, if I serve this Narayana, and I will become Narayana. So this fellow will say, Om Narayana, Narayana, and he will say Narayana. Everybody says Narayana, hoping to become God. So, even when I'm talking about this serving this, what do you call, poor people. Of course, what the person who comes to my mind most is Mother Teresa. She was, what do you call, the saint of the gutter or something, she was known as. Did they help her Sisters of Charity? I think, if I'm not mistaken. They used to bring these people from the, there was a lot of social and, what do you call, meritorious service. And they used to feed them and to make them comfortable. But you must understand, but their concept is by doing all this they can go to heaven. That is their concept. It is much better than, which is more like what we are saying. Punya means go to heaven. But even Mother Teresa, I'm quoting what she herself written. In my final 50 years, I did not feel the presence of the Lord. She's written like that. Though, you know, everybody says she's the greatest saint. And she herself has given a statement. I'm not trying to criticize anybody here. I'm just saying we are discussing philosophy. But she has said that the last 50 years, I lost the presence of the Lord. And I think that is because there's no rasa, there's no relationship. To go one step further, even Lord Jesus Christ, in his final moments of the cross, and he felt, or he had these feelings of abandonment too. And when he said that, O Lord, thou hast forsaken me, and that crossed his mind for a while. Of course, for us, we will say that's Leela. You know, we have got a lot of explanations that they don't have, and they go crazy, and each one is trying to blame the other for whatever happened. And of course, Mel Gibson takes the movie, and then he's trying to blame the Jews, and you know, all that. But we can explain about Yogamaya, Mahamaya, why this happened, and why, you know, for the people. We can explain so many ways, because the Shastras give us so much of information. How we could have explained that. So this, now we'll come to Varnashrama. This Varnashrama was created by Lord Krishna himself. He says, Chaturvanyam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasa. He says in the fourth chapter, this fourfold orders and stages of life was created by me according to the modes of nature and the activity they perform. So it is the propensity that a person has, and it's not by birth. Today, of course, we've got about 400,000 different, what do you call, caste systems in India. And what happens is, most of them, of course, each one is practicing whatever they're practicing, but it's all based on birth. And you all know the famous example, which I told you the last time too. Prabhupada keeps saying that if your father is a high court judge, you can't be a high court judge unless you get the training. Similarly, if your father is a brahmana, you can't be a brahmana unless you have the training. So, though we have these four social orders and four stages of life, for those who are new here, the four stages of life is when you're young, you are a brahmacharya, you stay in a gurukul, and then after 20 you leave, then if you decide to get married, then there is a grahastha life, get married, and then much later you take the vanaprastha life. You're supposed to go and live in the forest. And then finally the sannyasa, where you renounce everything and then you serve the Supreme Lord. So those are the four stages of life. But we'll have to understand what is happening in this modern world. Today's world is what is called as Varna Shankara. Varna Shankara means unwanted population. Most of us are existing here today because our mothers forgot to take the pill. Oh my God, I forgot the pill. And then, you came out because I forgot. That's how it is. We're not even wanted. We're just existing by chance. Now that's, Varna Shankara is a kind of creation that people live by whatever they think they want to live. There's no goals in life. And such a child comes into this earth, by the time he's 4 years, he's trying to find out who the mother is, who the father is, and the family is fine. One day, his papa is gone, and a new papa is seated there. And the mother, this is your papa. And he's wondering, where's my other papa? He's gone. He's already gone. There's a new father there. And you might not believe it, but many of these families, we have cases, it's not a small number, I'm telling you, it's a large number. Especially girls being molested by the so-called stepfathers. If not sexually abused, at least definitely there's molestation in many, many cases. And this leaves a very, very very kind of a bad impression upon them. They are mentally disturbed so much, they resort to drugs, alcohol, very easily, very often. And so what happens is there is a turmoil, the whole society is turmoil, and then they get into relationships which are even more difficult, and this goes on and on. So that is today's society, that is Varnashrama. So in Varnashrama, it is perfect conditioning. It's still conditioned, but it's good conditioning. If you have this good conditioning, then only you can. It's a springboard for the next stage, from Varnashrama to Varnashrama, and then of course to Bhagavad Dharma, Atma Dharma. That is the last step. So you can't from Varnashrama tell a person in Varnashrama, you talk about Atma Dharma or Bhagavad Dharma, he thinks you're crazy. But if you can bring him to Varnashrama Dharma, and then, because you need a foundation for anything, that foundation, a good foundation. So Varnashrama Dharma is a good foundation. But Varnashrama Dharma is still conditioning. It may be perfect conditioning, but it's conditioning. So what is this conditioning? Conditioned by the body. I'll give you an example. You see somebody on the beach, or say, St. Kilda Beach, he has shorts and whatever, slacks, and he's running. Running. As if there is no end to it. And then you see another person, like me, dressed dhoti, tilak, and coming into the temple. And then what do you think? You think, oh, look at that guy, he's just a materialist, he's simply running for nothing. And look at this person, he's going to the temple. Wow, he's such a religious person. That's what we think. But what happens is, this so-called religious person walks into the temple, looks at Krishna and says, oh Krishna, give me good health. He's praying for health. One person is praying for health. One person is working out for his health. So, it's the same. That is conditioning. He may think, his mind may be satisfied that I am more holy. But it's nothing, it's the same. It's condition. Similarly, a person is going to a nightclub, tuxedo and all that, with perfume all over, and looking for a girl. Another person is coming here and looks at Radharani, please give me a nice girl, I want to get married. It's the same. This is condition. It's not different. Externally, it may look as if they're different, but it's the same. Or even for wealth. Some people working hard, making money, and then it's, look at this Karabi, he's working like as if there's no tomorrow. Making money like this, we criticize. And then we come here and we'll tell the priest, can you do some special puja for me? I'm starting my business. I bought a new car. Can you do some puja for the car? I'm surprised it's coming here. So, it means the same. So that is conditioning. That is why it's conditioning. And sometimes this conditioning is even, we will think that, we devotees, we don't get conditioned. Of course we can. Prabhupada says, don't get stuck with your fingers. And then you get stuck with the fingers. I remember once in this is a story told to somebody in Bombay. And he was speaking like this in a public program. And the speaker was going all over the place. And he looked at the there was a Brahmin boy who was doing this chamara service. And then he called him, come here. He came. He said, give me a Brahmin thread. So the boy gave the Brahmin thread. And then he tied the Brahmin thread to the mic. And he said, that's a good use of a Brahmin thread. So he was willing to break this kind of thing. You're not supposed to take so many rules. But he said, but at that time the preaching was more important. So we shouldn't get stuck with it. And sometimes I'm talking about my experience in my previous place, where there'll be dancers, when they're dancing, they'll be dancing in such a way, they'll be kicking everybody around, nobody can move, they're moving all over the place, kicking everybody. And of course there'll be mridanga players, they're playing and playing, and then suddenly this mridanga has gone somewhere. So this kind of things will go on. So we can't get people, you can't get stuck with your wooden sandals and big South Indian border dhotis or, you know, water fort and all these are just accessories. So, now, what does Lord Chaitanya says? He says, Parama Arthika Dharma. The topmost goal, see all this, the topmost goal is to act as part and parcel. Now, why should you act as part and parcel? Because that's what we are. We are part and parcels, and he is saying you act as part and parcel. So anything that favors this acting part and parcel, he will accept. Anything that is not favorable, he just rejects. He said, no, that's not known. That's what the whole thing is. Of course, you all know most of it. So in today's verse now, he says that that by steady knowledge, a sage should clearly ascertain the nature of the soul's bondage and liberation, and complete control of the senses. Now, how? That's very easily said and done. How to control the senses? That's not easy. I mean, that's not easy to just control the senses. Even though if you sit on one place, supposing you say, I will close my eyes so that I won't see anybody. If you open your eyes, at least you'll see a known Mataji. If you close your eyes, you'll see Angelina Jolie, Marilyn Monroe, everybody will be there. Because you can't. That's how it works. The senses, they cannot be controlled. And if you say, I don't want to think of something, that it will remain there forever. You don't want to think about this, okay, I'm here for you. That's how it works. It's the same. And if you shut any of your senses, whether it's music, your ears, or whatever you don't want to listen to. So, these senses are not easy to control. So, how do you control the senses? To control the senses, we have to go to Yoga Sutras. Patanjali Maharaj says, to control the senses, you have to control the mind. For mind control, you need sense control, and sense control, you need mind control. So, that's why the senses need to be controlled. We have to be careful on what we eat, what we see, what we taste, and what we hear, what we smell, what we touch, all these things are important, so there is some control. With this, then the mind gets controlled. And how do you control the mind? Of course, controlling the mind. The mind, for a start, comes from the English word man. Sorry, the other way. The English word mind comes from the Sanskrit word man. And man, thra. Man means mind, thra means to deliver. So how do we control the mind and how do we control the senses? It's by chanting the mantra, especially the Maha Mantra, which is called Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So when the Irshikesa Sevanam Bhakti Uchare, Irshikena, the control of all the senses, that's Irshikena, that's Krishna. He is the control of all the senses. All these senses. Rishiki ena, all these senses. Rishiki isha, the control of all the senses. Sevanam bhakti ruchari. By taking all these senses and then using it in the service of Krishna, and then the senses come into control. Somebody says, I'm smoking, I can't give up smoking. Somebody says, I'm drinking, I can't give up drinking. Somebody says this and that. Just come here, in front of the deer, start jumping. Little by little, it will go away. I'm telling you, this is the best medical treatment. No medical treatment can come near this. Because I myself am a patient who have been cured this way. So what I'm saying is, these senses are very difficult to control, the more you try to control. And you can't just shut them out, because the mind will work even harder. But by engaging properly, it's like my Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it's like a child. You tell the child, sit down, don't do anything. Sit down there for a minute. And then the child will run all over the place, throwing this, throwing that. And you pull the child back and say, sit down, I'll punish you. We'll be there. But you can't control the child. But supposing you give some engagement, give the piece of paper, give some coloring pencils, and then of course there is engagement. Now the child will not be destructive. He'll be constructive, he'll be drawing something, and maybe write Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, like that. Similarly, he says, that we have to control the senses is to engage the senses. You can't control, you can't stop it. It's like in the Buddhist thing, they say that desire is the cause of evil. So, stop desire. You can't stop desire. You can't stop desire. The Vedic concept says, nothing wrong in desiring. Desiring wrongly, that is wrong desire, that is wrong. Proper desire, you should have proper desire, then you are safe. So, similarly, so in this particular instance too, we have to understand that by engaging the senses properly, then we will understand that the senses are working. Most of us don't even know that the senses are operating on us. Many of us don't know. But by doing this, then we will know that, oh, the senses are operating. These senses, mind and intellect, they are supposed to be our servants. But they have taken over. There has been a rebellion and they are now masters. So they will tell you, okay, go and see this, and then we'll go, I want to see this. And they'll tell you, okay, you go and do this. Whatever they tell you to do, then you are doing. But you don't tell them, no, you just shut up. I'm not doing what you want me to do. Better sleep. No, I'm going to the temple. No, you sleep. No, I'm going to the temple. So initially there'll be a little bit of battle, but after that, you know, they become somebody. They know this guy is useless. We can't. This boss is too tough for us. So, but most of us, we have allowed the senses to become masters. And that's why they'll tell you. They can't. Why? Why are you smoking? Don't you know smoking is bad? Yes, I know it's bad. Why don't you? I can't. I'm helpless. Prabhupada says in one instance that, you know, this guy was smoking, and then you say, oh, all your devotees, they all control this, that, and all that. Then Prabhupada says, you're such a big man. I've been watching you, and all that. And he said, I've been watching you. You're such a big man. Yet a small little white thing there controls you so much. So it is this is how the senses are so. So it is there has been a discussion here in this last few verses about renunciation and sense enjoyment. That's the whole thing. Because when you renounce, then you stay away from trouble and you enjoy, then that is bondage. Even the word bondage comes from the English, right, the Sanskrit word bandh. You look at the similarity. Now, so is that easy? Can you just withdraw from activity? That's very difficult. You have to. Activity is, you have to perform activities. There's no way you can't perform. Now, renunciation, once Prabhupada was talking about renunciation in, I can't remember which country, and then the reporters are always there hounding, you know, to find some faults. So he came in a Rolls Royce. It could be, I think it's probably here, Melbourne or Australia somewhere. Probably no. And then they asked him, you know, you talk about renunciation, why are you coming in a Rolls Royce? So he says, I'm representing God. This car is just made of metal and rubber and wood and, you know, whatnot. Actually, I should get a car made of gold because I'm representing the Supreme God Himself. Similarly, in Hong Kong, there was press conference, and all British reporters, Hong Kong was a British colony then, and they were all, you know, they were discussing, you know, we have to catch this old man, they are already planning to do that. And he stayed in a presidential suite. So, one of the first questions they asked him, oh, Swamiji, you are talking about renunciation. How come you are staying in the presidential suite? So he said, for me, even a tree is enough. I can stay under a tree, there's no problem. That's what he does in Mayapur. He's just got a cottage, a small cottage. There's no presidential suite there. But he said, if I held the conference under the tree, none of you will be there. So for you guys, you know, I have to do this. Of course, he's just telling them off. But, you know, of course, he'll have a chuckle and say, I have to shut their mouths. And he'll also say, don't waste your money. I just want to say something about what the verse that says in the last line in the 21, which talks about the sage should concentrate on the soul alone, realizing it to be non-different from me. I thought I'll just make a mention about that. Because this is a very, very statement that we have to analyze properly. When he says that the soul is non-different from me, that the soul is non-different from Krishna. The mind will just quickly jump to the conclusion, see, Krishna himself says, they're same. And then they will say, we and Krishna, we are one, same. There is everything. He says, not different from me. But we have to understand, non-different from me in a certain aspect. Not truly. No, we didn't say same. We are not same. In quality, we are same. Non-different in quality. But not in quantity. We can't do what Krishna is doing. We all know that. But I'm just making an emphasis. I just want to make an emphasis on that. In fact, the Mahavadis talk about the four Mahavakyas. The four Mahavakyas in the Upanishads. The first one is Prajnanam Brahma. This consciousness, I told you about the consciousness of the soul. So this consciousness is God, Brahman. Brahman is the impersonal God. So they say Prajnanam Brahma. The second one that they say is Tattvamasi. That thou art. That means God. God, you are God. That's the second Mahavakya for them. And the third one is Ayamatma Brahman. That means this Atma is Brahman. And then the fourth one is Aham Brahmasmi. They say, I am Brahman. But you have to understand, I am spiritually Brahman. I am not Brahman, I am spiritually Brahman. That's why Prabhupada translates the Aham Brahmasmi as, I am not this body. So somebody will say, what is this translation? He says, Aham Brahmasmi. Prabhupada says, I am not this body. So it's very funny, and people, Sanskrit scholars will say this is cheating. Americans, they don't understand Sanskrit, they are being fooled. But the point is, the philosophy is clear, but the Mayavadis are fooling us. Because the conclusion, Prabhupada is giving the conclusion that Aham Brahmasmi means I am not this body, I am spirit soul. He adds on that you are spirit soul, you are part and parcel of Krishna. But you're not this body because we identify with this body. So that is something. Now these social divisions that we talked about, that there is Brahmacharya and Grahastha, Vanaprastha and all that. So these are social divisions, the Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra. So, once Satrupa Das Goswami asked Prabhupada that are there social divisions among practicing Vaishnavas? So, Prabhupada says, no, there is no such division. He says, no, Prabhupada, what I'm saying is, like a person who is working in the factory outside, but he's a Hare Krishna devotee, then for practical purposes, can we call him that he's a that is a Sudra Vaishnava. So Prabhupada repeatedly said, please try to understand that there is no such thing, whether in the, what you call, in the factory, inside the temple, outside the temple, as long as he is chanting Hare Krishna, then there is no other designation, he is a Vaishnava. So you have to be very clear here that there are no thing. But what was Prabhupada trying to do? What is this whole thing about going to the West and all that? Because there was no Brahminical qualities in India. That's the whole thing. I mean, why all this is happening? Why we all are here? Because according to the Varnashrama Dharma, the Brahminical people, the priestly class should advise the other classes. And then you'll have a smooth running society. But if you don't have that, it will look very beautiful, everything is nice, but the damage is going, you know, underneath, and people just cover it. They don't realize the damage till it takes a long, long time for them to understand. So, because of a lack of qualified people, and the people are not listening to be qualified, he went to the West and he gave them the knowledge and trained them to become pure Brahmana. So he wanted to establish Varnashrama Dharma all over the world so that a new breed of Brahminical people will be created and these people can guide the rest of the society. That is the whole thing. That's why all this happened. And that's why all this is happening. So, we have to understand that one too. And if in the modern world what's happening is, in fact, Shudras are now telling us what to do. I mean, people can become politicians, for instance, they are the ones who are telling us what to do. And the other day, I just read, there's a politician, I don't know his name,
He said, we have to tell the Australian, we have to give this Australian culture to the people that, you know, that they can drink but should not get drunk. Can you understand that? You drink but don't get drunk. Gamble but don't lose everything. But, you know, you provide all that, it becomes, of course, you know, the independent. Of course, they give you a very nice explanation why the whole thing is happening. I get a lot of people from the Crown Casino, and they say how it's, people have just lost everything. And not only that, and they say they've gone crazy. And not only that, they say, of late, Indian students, not to be let down, are flocking there, it seems. They're trying their hard to make some money in the casino. And they've got so hard for the little money, and all the money is gone. So, this kind of thing that they will say that we need the money and we need this and we need that and it's easily available. Everything is made easily available. So, when Sudras come and tell us what to do, we are in trouble. Remember those days when I was young, 1971, I think, John Lennon, he wrote this, song, Imagine. Imagine, you know, we all living in peace and imagine there are no countries and imagine and all the loving people and all that kind of thing. And then he even said, if I'm not, Newtopia. He calls it a world of Newtopia. Newtopia. Newtopia, which means there are no borders, there are no visas, there are no passports. And of course, you know, the world loved it. He's saying that. And as the time after the Vietnamese war and the whole Americans were so angry with the war and he says why and of course it takes a lot of pot shots at religion. Religion is at the cause of all these problems and so Shudras will teach us what to do and we are in trouble. You know, we are in trouble. And they can't go far too. Even Michael Jackson, so many, you know, suddenly they'll come out with so many things about, you know, the earth to be saved and the environment should be protected. And all these things, and all of them just, you know, they say one thing one day and the next day they're gone. So we are in trouble if we are to get advice from the Sudras. And that's what's happening today. It can be President Obama, it can be Kevin Rudd, but that's the essence. So we have to be careful there. Now finally a small story from the Brahma Purana, which says that, which is very relevant to what is that. Though I said about the four social orders, there are even worse kind of orders. What I'm talking about there is Brahmana, the higher, the priestly class, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. Then there is what is called as a Malecha. And actually there is Yavana, there is Malecha, then there is Chandala. And it goes on like that. They are all not even considered because their lifestyle and living standards are so bad. Now somebody might say, oh, these things are not, you know, this class business, you know, Indians only believe. It's not in any other society. It's not true. If you go to England, for instance, they have their thing, they've got their royalty, they've got their barons and lords and whatnot. And then the commoner. And there is a class. Everywhere there is a class. In America, of course, the rich and the richer. And the very poor. There is no middle class. You know, either you're very poor or you're very rich. And the rest will know. And the very rich will be very happy and the very poor will just get crushed. So, and you might say, oh, if you go to the darkest regions of Africa, and even a tribal group, you will see one fellow sitting on the throne. He may be made out of husk, not golden peacock and all that. But he is the Kshatriya. And the other fellow will be there with a big stick there and ulla bulu. And he's the, you know, some kind of a priest. He's the Brahmana. And then some people will be trading, the Vaishyas, and some people who are assisting the rest, they'll be Sudras. So this class is, you know, it exists in society in a varied way. Now coming back to the story, this is about a story of a Chandala. A Chandala is a dog eater. That's what is considered very low grade. You know, if you even eat a dog, you know, a Yavana is just a meat eater, a Malecha, you know, is a beef eater, a Muslim meat. Yavana is usually, the whites are called Yavanas, and the Malechas, the Muslims are called Malechas, more or less. And Chandalas are dog eaters. Of course, Koreans are famous for eating dogs. And this kind of things are there. So what happens is this Chandala, who was a dog eater, This story happens in Avanti, the outskirts of Avanti. And he's rushing to the temple. Though he's a chandala, he's a very religious person. It's a Vishnu temple. He rushes to the temple. On the way, he stops at this river, Shipra River. And on the banks, there are beautiful flowers. So he's collecting flowers. And that's on Ekadasi day. That was yesterday. So Ekadasi day, and he was fasting the whole day. And by sunset, he was rushing. And he goes to the banks and he's collecting all the flowers. And he's a very great singer too. So he's rushing to the temple so that he can offer the flowers and he's going to sing for the Lord's satisfaction. And the banks of the river, there's a big tree. And inside the tree lived a Brahma Rakshasa. A Rakshasa is a goblin, hobgoblin as they say. One which devours on human flesh. So they are gigantic too. Putana was a Rakshasi. Ravana, he's a Rakshasa himself. And this Brahma Rakshasa is even more powerful, more potent. And he comes out and he said, oh, this is food for me. And he wants to eat this chandala. And this man said, oh, don't, please don't eat me. You know, I got something very important to do. I'm going to the temple. I said, no way. You know, I'm starving. 10 days. I've not eaten. So I'm going to eat you. I have to eat you. I go, no way. So he said, please, you know, I have to go to the temple. This is my, you know, I have to sing there. I'll promise you one thing. I'll come back tomorrow. I'll finish my service today. I'll come back tomorrow. And when I come back tomorrow, you can eat me. So he said, all right. First he said, no, I don't believe you. You know, you're not coming back. But he said, no, some or other he convinces him. He said, all right, he'll give a try. They'll let go. Okay. So the man goes to the temple, puts the flowers, and he sings the whole night. He was very devoted to Vishnu. And he sings the whole night. And come dawn when the sun breaks, the day breaks, and he, comes back to the bank and presents himself in front of the tree, and the Brahmarakshasa said, okay. And the Brahmarakshasa was shocked because he never expected him to come back. He said, you're not a chandala, you're a Brahmana. You're so truthful. You've come back. I can't believe this. Then he says, no, tell me what is this whole thing you're doing? So he explains, that every Ekadasi day, I go, I fast like this, and then at night I take the flowers and I go and decorate Vishnu's deity, and then I sing the whole night long. And he says, how long have you been doing this? For 20 years. For 20 years. And he said, okay, give me some of your meritorious deeds and pass it on to me. And he says, no, I can't do that. He begs in a place, give me at least 2 hours worth of your punya to me, or devotional service, devotional acts to me. And then he says, okay, tell me about his story. And of course, you know, this things go on and on, never end. So he talks about his past life and then he feels sorry for him. So this chandala gives some of his devotional acts to him. After which he is liberated, the Brahma Rakshasa is liberated. And after doing this, he goes to certain Punyatirthas. And this chandala also goes back home to Godhead. So in other words, why I'm saying this, though you're in whatever position materially in the Varnashrama Dharma, by performing devotional service, you can not only uplift yourself morally, you definitely can uplift yourself spiritually to go back home finally, back to Godhead. Thank you very much for patient listening. Now if you have got any comments or questions. గ్రంథరాశ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కీ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద కీ.